Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Pullbag, and you're hearing the sound of my voice before this episode of The Pullbag, because in episode 579, TFG and Mike forgot to say, or maybe I did say but didn't really acknowledge it, but we recorded this one day before mine and Joe's 12th anniversary of when we started doing Turtles coverage. January 22nd, 2014 is when we released our first IDW Publishing TMNT comic book episode here inside The Pullbag. So literally it's been 12 years ago today as you're listening to this, January 22nd, 2026, because I'm going to edit this and publish it as soon as I possibly can. Hopefully it will air on January 22nd, 2026, but it was recorded January 21st, 2026. If that makes any sense. And yes, I know I'm talking super, super fast because it is early in the morning and I'm trying to getting all of this out all at once, and I'm in the middle of eating my own breakfast and everything else and all that. And hope everyone has an excellent day, an excellent week, and hope everyone has a happy new year here in 2026. Right now, The Pullbag, episode 579. The Armageddon Game from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is Opening Moves. Up next here, inside The Pullbag, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
Hi, this is Bobby Curno, and you are going to have a shell of a good time inside The Pullbag.
Hey, this is Tom Waltz, IDW's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle writer, and you have jumped inside The Pullbag.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 2026. Holy crap. And we only released 9 episodes last year for multiple reasons. Number one, I had surgery in August. For those of you who don't know, I believe I released the last episode, episode 578, was an interview with my buddy Tom Zoller. Comic writer and artist is illustrator Tom Zoller. That was the last episode that we did. That was August of something last year. I forget the actual date. But that was the last episode that I was able to do before I went in for ulnar nerve and carpal tunnel surgery on my left arm. For those that don't know, I'm TFU and Mike, and I have cerebral palsy on my right arm. So, yay, I was Mr. No Arm for about 3 or 4 months. I'm still kind of Mr. No Arm now. Now, as you can hear, the return, finally, after whatever the... How do you lose your freaking comics, dude?
I put them in, like, 3 different places in the house when I get them home, and then look at the big pile of things I haven't read and go, But no, we had friends over for New Year's, and then again a couple nights ago, and Art Danner,
Art
came over and said, "So what about these comics?" Like, "Oh, dude, I forgot." Sweet. And all of my Ninja Turtle comics are in order now. What kind of order? Who knows? But I was able to.
Well, we're gonna find out because we gotta get to the end of this run.
Yes,
and then we gotta start the new run.
Appalled that I haven't finished this, and hopefully this will get me going again.
Well, that's the point. And originally, folks, I was gonna do something so huge and so stupendously stupid. I was gonna put all of Armageddon Game into one podcast. We're not doing that. I was gonna edit it into one long, all-inspiring episode, and I ain't doing that. This is episode 579. This is part 1 of Armageddon Game. This is Opening Moves. Episode 580 will be part 2, which will be the overall story for Armageddon Game. And then episode 581 will be part 3, which will be the Alliance or Aftermath or whatever it is. I think it's Armageddon Alliance. So 3 episodes for Armageddon Game. And then we will be getting back to TMNT Reborn with Damage, Volume 8, Damage Done, or Do Damage, Damage Done, Go Red Sox, all that good stuff. And then Volume 9, First, Last, and Always, or First, Last, Always, whatever it is on the trade there. But yeah, Armageddon Game, this is the... going into this, even before we had all the delays last year, this was the story I was least looking like. This is you know how sometimes, I forget which movie it was, but there was a movie where somebody was tired of somebody speeding in their neighborhood and they just kept making the speed bump bigger and bigger and bigger. I forget if it was a movie or a TV show. Somebody out there is going to know. I don't remember off the top of my head what it was. And oh, I forgot to say, folks, Mr. Joe Reed is back. Hello, sir. Oh. How are you?
I'm good. I forgot you didn't say that.
Yeah, I didn't say that. It's so far out of practice. See, this is what happens when you only release 9 episodes in a 52-week year.
That's a lot of comics you got to go back and read.
Man, well, that's what we're doing now. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, we're doing Reborn Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, wait. Armageddon game. We should do that. Right. What is Armageddon game? Oh, for flubber's sake. It's the thing freaking is an
insane crossover. And
yeah,
I feel like we're going to discover things when we get into the main Armageddon game. Like the books want to be in the middle of it. I have no idea. But I mean, I think this is probably why I stopped reading it or started to hesitate reading it, because the reading order was just kind of crazy.
Yeah, so this is why I always have them in trade now, and yep. I don't do single issue. Like, I understand, and we've known this for the last 2014 to 2026, 10, 12 years that you and I have been doing these comics since we started January of 2014 that we did this. We've known this about you since day one. You have to read the single issue as soon as it comes out, and I understand that, and I respect it, but for me, it's like, for organizational purposes, IDW has always done the greatest thing with their trades. They put them in the story order the way they want you to follow the story.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I've always championed the IDW TMNT trade paperbacks, and that's why I always will. But I, unlike you, as far as like the story order of it all, for me, I'm not a fan of the Pantheon stuff, because not anything against Kitsune or Toad Baron or any of the other Pantheon family members. I'm not a fan of Rat King. I don't care. Even when we're going to get to this, but even in this,
chaos for the sake of chaos is not very fun for me.
Yeah.
I think, and yeah. He's a very chaotic villain, and
yeah, I just
and, you know, and a little gross.
Yeah, plus, you know, I go back to what Indy said about his dad. He never made it past the rats. Like, that's me. I never made it past the snakes. I never made it past the rats. So, Armageddon Game moves. The trade paperback collects Kingdom of Rats Prelude. The story was done by Bobby Kernow. Yay, Bobby! Art done by Pablo Tunica. Letters done by Sean Lee. TMNT number 84. Is that our book, or is that some? No, oh, that is our book. That's right. Folks, we're a little rusty here. Yeah, 84. Story by Eastman, Kernow, and Waltz. Script done by Waltz. Art done by Dave Wachter. With colors by Rhonda Pattison. Yay, Rhonda! Yay. Letters by Sean Lee. Annual 2020, story by Tom Waltz, art by Adam Gorham. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Adam. Colors by John Roush and Michael Garland. Letters done by Sean Lee. Sean Lee's on all the letters, folks. Sean does all the letters. Annual 2021, story by Tom. Pencils by Casey Maloney. Inks by Maria Keene. Colors by Luis Antonio Delgado, another IDW staple for the colors. Yay! And then opening moves, 1 and 2. Tom Waltz on the story, Firo Pei on the art, colors by Rhonda, yay, and letters by Sean. So that's what's here, and that's what we are here to discuss this evening. Oh boy. Kingdom of Rats Prelude. Even I listened to like our first 5, 10, 15 minutes of episode, whatever episode it was. I forget the number. But when we did episode 81 to 85, issues 81 to 85 in the old episode, and I'll link that old episode. But like, even listening back to that after reading this one part of the story, I'm like, I still don't remember this shit.
The reason I didn't remember this Kingdom of Rats prelude is because it showed up at the end of Ninja Turtles Universe number 19, which had a completely different story in the beginning, where Raphael and Alopex are raiding Null's lab.
Yeah,
but there's these couple of pages here, beautifully drawn. Creepily drawn.
Yes. Yeah. So this is basically Rat King just setting everything up for himself for that story, the Kingdom of Rats story, 81 to 85 of TMNT. And it's been years, folks, and we will, since the run is concluded for the main story, we will be going back and doing other TMNT books that IDW has done, including Universe. We never have covered Universe. That was by design, because we were so engrossed in the main story, I didn't want us to get distracted on anything else. We've done some crossovers here and there when it seemed fit and it wasn't too distracting away from the main story.
Yeah, Universe is kind of like, what were those two characters doing when they went this way and you went that way? And
yeah, exactly.
But that was a good issue. I read that part anyway, just in case. But
yep.
Rat King is establishing his new base, talking to his rats in creepy ways. At least he didn't eat any of them this time. But I think
he will later. I
interpret the last page of that, he is seeing New York City in ruins, like as a premonition.
This
or something, yeah.
And yeah.
This is where he decides to, you know, start making things happen toward that.
Yep.
Premonition, and this is way back in 2018.
Yeah.
When that particular book was published.
Yep. So long ago. Yeah, because we published that episode in 2019. So the next part of the story opens up with the Turtles and Rat King on some sort of scaffolding, and the Rat King is holding up some child. Oh boy.
I think this was, it begins this way. We're kind of in the middle of a story when they're hitting this kind of flashback to Armageddon Games starting. And I think these were Splinter's kids.
Yes.
The Foot Clan kids that he had lured out of the place, and he's threatening to kill them, and the Turtles are trying to stop him.
Yeah, is it Splinter's kids, or are these the kids that? No, these are Rat King's kids that he manipulates. The Turtles save them.
Yeah,
I think the Turtles save
the kids that get brought back to Splinter.
Yes, because I nearly gorged my eyes out with tears when they came back. I think, if I have this right. Fast forwarding a little bit here, folks. Yes. Yeah. Because at the end, I think at the end. Yes. Because he that's what it is. So, in the beginning here, these are the children they are trying to save from the Rat King, because he is trying to bring them over to his side. He is messing with their minds and whatever else, and
Piper trying to walk them off the cliff.
Yeah.
And then he sicks them on the turtles with mind control and the rats, and so the turtles don't want to fight these kids. And
no, they don't want to fight these kids. Meanwhile, Mr. Mouser, because we can't call him Mr. Mayor yet, because that hasn't happened yet. As of this, he's still Professor Inventor. Creepy moron
Baxter Stockman.
Oh, whatever.
Dexter Boinkman.
There you go. Dexter Boinkman.
Like, that's an inside joke in our family too. Whenever that character's mentioned.
Yep.
You mean Bat and Stock Boy?
Bat and Stock Boy? That's right. That's right. Flyborg. Flyborg.
He's yeah, the Flyborg, this was 2018 as well. Wow. Yeah, man. Rat King's been at this for a while.
Yes, he has.
So what is, what is Baxter up to?
So Baxter is manufacturing the Mousers.
Oh, yeah.
Baxter's plan is to eradicate the city's rat problem so that way he can get more power, because he wants to eventually, from what I remember going, and we'll go through it obviously, but what I remember from just having read this again today is that this leads him to declare his intentions to become mayor. But that's what gets him there to do it, is that he invents the Mousers to get rid of all the rats, and they get rid of all the rats very violently, which I'm not saying that because I have a problem with the violence. I'm just stating a fact that the Mousers, they kind of violent. So
I hate to clean those things out after a hunt.
Yep. I love the exchange here between Raph and Mikey, and you got him secure, Mikey. Yeah, he's safe now. Good. Can't say the same thing for Rat Boy, though. No. And then we have this whole thing, and man, I as much as I'm not a fan of the Rat King, just because I do love all of the interactions between the turtles and him. And I love that Leo is trying to outsmart him, because he's like, why are you going all the way up there? What are you doing trying to get the high ground for and whatever else? And oh man, look at this. This reminds you of anything?
Oh yeah.
Even though the fact it's creepy as hell. Target Mouser kill number one. Like literally, I'm like, ooh, that reminds me of an old cover. Target.
Not coming back every once in a while. I love love those red covers.
Yep. Absolutely. Wow, that was fast and extremely disgusting. Don't get squeamish on me now, Miss O'Neill. This was your plan. And he explains to her how his flyborgs, I think does he call them flyborgs? He does. Oh, wow. He does. Damn. The only other place that I've heard of the term flyborg is in Phineas and Ferb in the, Phineas and Ferb, the second dimension, across the second dimension. Because the evil Doofenshmirtz in the second dimension has flyborgs that he uses. So that's what's going on here. My machines are functioning as designed. No surprise there. Which just means it's a matter of time. Dun, dun, dun.
Leo up here gets his high ground so that he can attack Rat King psychically. He goes meditating.
Yeah, it goes into the astral plane. Yep. I was wondering why it went from outside, like, the docks looking thing to a really bad... Well, I was going to say a really bad nightclub that looks like it would be in a John Wick movie. But he and Leo and Rat King have a battle of wits in the astral plane, and the other turtles think that they can attack Rat King in the real world, and Raph, that's not so easy to do, since the Rat King is the master of the real world and the astral plane.
Mm-hmm. He's in there multitasking.
Yes, he is. My God, the colors, the colors. And just the visceral, the visualizations of this page, the page where does not happen by accident. You wish to stop me to save those pathetic urchins.
Dave Wachter has grown on me. It took a long time.
Oh yeah.
I do enjoy this.
Like, look at his design on Leo. Like, man, just this image alone, like, I know it was knocked out or whatever, but just the way he's designed him.
Yeah, drawn real small, so too. Cool.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like
yeah, that it's hard to get the pen to do what you want to do at that tiny, tiny scale.
That's very true. But it's so good, and it's done so well, and the writing is just there, and you get the scenes mixing with each other, and you get the Leo and the Rat King, and Leo's coming back, and they're fighting each other, and you got the turtles fighting the Rat King's body.
I like how he's the Rat King is fighting them in the real world with absolutely no expression, because he's not. Because
he's not there, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And then wow. And then you get Flyborg, and Flyborg comes in, and oh boy, and you get astral plane projection, and this is creepy as hell. He looks like a vampire here.
Yep.
What's this? It's just all so good. But the Mousers invade Baxter. The Mousers distract
the mice, or the rats, rather, taking care of them.
Yeah.
In the astral plane, Leo scores a big hit on the Rat King, which wakes both of them up right before Rat King gets socked in the mouth.
Yep. You got punched right in the mouth. How's it? But. Why? And then the Flyborgs and the Mousers, determined little monstrosities, aren't you? And he just jumps right off the edge of the building. Oh boy.
Smell you later.
Smell you later. Hey, yeah. But all's well that ends well. The turtles save the day. The children are saved. I love this, though. Because this is like one of those running TV gags to me. So you go down to the very bottom. So you get... is something I picked up with, like when totally snared mammoth, yada, yada, yada. Final page. I think... dudes, I think I know. So you see them, you see Mikey looking at the kids, like, what are we going to do with them? And blah, blah, blah. Dudes, I think I know. And then all of a sudden, Mouser chasing Rat. One last rat to go. And I'm like, that's a TV run-through right there. That's like Urkel running through the camera to chasing something or whatever, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I laughed so hard at that when I read this. And this is where we get the emotion down of Mike, because... damn, like, I was not expecting this. Like, not expecting this at all. This is the epilogue that I was not expecting. We need your help. And then, obviously, Baxter makes his thing known that he wants to run for mayor. So far, like, the opening moves, opening whatever, Armageddon game... so far, it's okay.
Yeah,
even with the Rat King, like
going back and getting the context of what I know is happening now compared to these books that we read back in 2019. It's interesting to see that. Yeah, this is where it started. This is where they were kind of starting to put the seeds for an event. Maybe they didn't know what it was going to be, but they knew that the Rat King was maneuvering.
And like I said, even though I don't care for the character overall, even later he gets, we're gonna get there, but when he talks to all his siblings, like the turn, like when I hear, oh, it's a Rat King story, I'm like, oh great, it's gonna be the same thing every time. Let's get the family back together, let's get the game going again, I want to play the game, I want to have, like we've already said already, I want to have the chaos, I want to have the this, I want to have the that. This threw me for a loop because of what happens and how, but unfortunately, because of what happens, he has to pivot. Oh God. Don't get me started. This is something I was not expecting. I did not remember this. I did not remember.
I remember Frank discovering the body of Leatherhead and inhabiting him. But I I don't remember where that happened.
Yeah, folks, like I said, we are very rusty and we have not gone back to do like super deep dive research. So you're getting our real raw reading reactions because
research. You mean we read everything from issue 80 on?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, no, like even if we were to go back and listen to all the podcasts from 80 to now, that's still like thousands of hours of audio.
Yeah, it'd take me less time to reread it.
I know. I already did that when I edited the podcast. Yeah, exactly. I already did it when I edited the podcasts. So we start this one where Shredder's still in hell, I'm assuming, or he's somewhere. Because that's the devil, clearly.
Yep.
Okay.
So this is coming out of the annual 2020.
Yeah, this is annual 2020. Okay, cool. And the coolest thing for me out of this, look what they have him in.
Yeah, the animated colors.
Not just the animated colors. Them's toy colors, man.
Yep.
That's the toy. That's the freaking toy. I was like, oh, okay. That's that per. Okay. Yep. Very cool. Yeah. Because every child wanted a shirtless Shredder in the 80s. 1988, folks, you could have gone to whatever store and gotten a shirtless purple Shredder for $5. Oh.
You got to ask the, if you get to a con, you got to ask Kevin East about how they arrived at that action figure, because that was a whole bunch of people at the toy company not understanding the drawings.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other. Is it? Who is it? Playmates no longer has it.
Oh yeah, I just heard that news recently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what the McFarlane Toys has a license now, but they're making the high end figures or the medium end figures. I don't know who's going to be doing the Mutant Mayhem toys or.
That's crazy. Crazy.
Hasbro? I hope not.
Oh, God. If Hasbro had... That would be everything is a super monopoly now. Like, everybody has everything, or one company has everything for everything these days kind of things. But Hasbro already has Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Polly Pocket, Polly this, Polly that, whatever. They have so many things. Couldn't even imagine if Hasbro got Turtles.
Oh God. If they get Turtles, that's going to soften up and we're going to get a whole bunch of Transformers crossovers and G.I. Joe crossovers. Too many crossovers. No more Turtles.
Yeah. No more Turtles. No more crossovers.
No more.
And we see that. I almost said Yoshi. Wow. For 2 seconds, I thought that was not who it is, but we get Saki and Kitsune. And then and then Rat King shows up and he's there to see his sister because he's there to recruit her, and he and Saki have a conversation, which I loved this. I loved all of this. I thought this is cool. This is great. And this is what's so great about this story, because Rat King is looking for players for his game. He wants Kitsune, even though Kitsune failed him last time, he wants to see if that's the whole point of this. That's the whole point of opening moves. That's the whole point of the annuals and whatever. He wants to see who's going to play the Pantheon game, the Armageddon game, whatever you want to call it now. And spoilers, folks, nobody wants to play.
Oh gosh, what's the line? The only way not to lose is not to play the game? Or is that how it's only way to win is not to play.
Yeah, the only way to win is not to play. Yep.
But you know what? They address that in this book later.
Yep. They do. But I just what the wait a minute. Oh.
Yes, by this point.
Yeah.
And Shredder's moving toward the good side here.
Right. Yeah. No. Because this is after he leaves and she says, "Beloved, what are you contemplating?" And he goes, and you see Splinter and he goes, "Old friends, Kitsune. And the next will be yours, Aruka." And new possibilities. Oh God. Again, I these books just always find ways to just crush your heart. And then we get to Oroko Karai and all her stuff. Stuff.
So it looks like this is an issue I somehow missed, never read, don't have. So I'm seeing this for the first time. But she's harvesting parts of the dragon that was partially formed in issue 100.
Yep. So she says to all her minions, "It's been nearly a month since Kitsune's attack, so why am I still staring at all this destruction? I want answers now." And then he says, "Now, what do we have here, my children?" So I'm losing my voice. "I understand your frustration, Karai, but we're fortunate to have anything left after the dragon debacle. If Stockman wasn't mayor, it's almost guaranteed we'd have government inspectors snooping all over this facility, which would fully expose our operation." So they have all this discussion about all that, and we eventually have the Rat King break into this whole thing, and we have him basically put them to sleep kind of thing, where he does his whole thing with Karai and says to her, "Not a mere knight, no, but a veritable queen in the making. And what's more dangerous, my children, than having a deadly and determined queen at your behest? You may continue. Get moving." And all her minions kept moving because he stopped them. He stopped the thing right before she could say that. And now we get to Alopex and Angel, and oh boy.
He's going to try to recruit them?
You
know, he's chaos.
Yeah, he's chaos, all right. No, he's following them to see where... No, he's following them to get to this. He's following them to get to Leatherhead and Krang. That's what he's doing.
I do think that is the coolest thing to have done to Krang.
Oh, no.
I'd like to see more of that, because it's horrifying and nasty, and it makes Leatherhead even more scary.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's very, very scary. And nobody's like, "Oh, shit." Or something to that effect. It's actually bleeped out. "What's this? A monster within a monster?
Two for one sale, pal."
Tell me you're not playing with a Jose Canseco tail. At war with each other, no less. How splendid. Again, Dave Wachter's art, the colors, and just, oh man, it's so good. So, so good. Like, just the change. Like, just the change in this entire page. You start with the dark, like, inner panel here with the "what's this?" You have the green and pink, green overall of Leatherhead with the little leg thing he's got, little bandages he's got. And you got the background there, and then pink of Krang, and then you get Alopex and within the white, and nobody with the purple. And then down at the left-hand side of the page, he picks up a mouser, which is a yellow background, and basically he just chucks it. Let's liven things up a little bit, shall we? Hey, he'll throw that at me.
Oh, no.
Intruders. Uh-oh. We're in trouble. And uh-oh. But Angel got a little electrocution stuff on her side, though. She electrocutes the shit out of Krang Leatherhead. Just find a way to total the damn thing while I keep the psycho twins busy. So Alopex tries to get to the van. Leatherhead's tail stops her. More fighting ensues. Krang says, I've never experienced such infuriatingly resistant host. But thanks to you, I am now in full control of the local idiot. Oh, no. The elect... Oh, it's short... It, his it knocked brain.
Him out, but not yeah, Krang.
Yeah, it knocked Leatherhead out, but not Krang. Oh, God, yeah. Well, now he can do whatever he wants to do, and what he wants to do is make contact with the other Utroms, because that's all he has ever wanted to do. Jamming remains active. You weren't able to disrupt... that you inane reptile, which means I'm still invisible to my prying enemy eyes. And then they shot one of them threw something at the thing, and we get more electrocution soon here. And then Alopex does her thing with the computer. Man, so much electrocution. I love this. Where there. You're a regular riot, Libby. Break glass, push button, run. Bye-bye. Man. And then, they do all that and get down. How absolutely beautiful. Rat King just stands there. And Leatherhead's like, or Krang's like, no, I need to get back in there. Stop, you fool. You'll burn us both. And then Rat King puts an all stop to it. I won't have all the delicious mayhem this motley group provides snuffed out so soon. Like these two, biological warrior and her furry mutant sidekick. How absolutely thrilling. Truly, ladies, it's been a joy to watch you both in action. Simply leave here with the pride of a mission successfully accomplished. I'm really, really sore for some reason. Yeah, that was...
Crazy
mind control. That was crazy. Yeah. Crazy mind control. I hate that shit. Absolutely hate that shit. But here's where it gets even stranger. Speaking of weird, you are bizarre and most tumultuous sense of the world, my friends. Two oddities for the price of one. So many chaotic possibilities. So no, there will be no murder-suicide today. No martyring. No martyrs. I will put those thoughts out of one's obstinate mind, and memories of today's battle will be lost to you both. Come with me, my pets, until we again enjoy the amusement of these two offer. But for now, we must bid them adieu. Wow. Oh, boy. This comic. So Leatherhead and Krang wake up. Who, where, what? What the hell have you done? You idiot! You brought us here through this... Fitchy sewer just to steal this opportunity to reunite with my people away from me. He thinks Leatherhead is the problem. Oh boy, the end. Gotta love Leatherhead. I love that because the alternate cover by Kevin Eastman, though. That's a good Leatherhead cover with the city as the backdrop. That's a good one. Oh boy. This is Casey Maloney and Maria Keene, Luis Antonio Delgado for the cover here. You got the turtles all in the front. You got Leatherhead Rat King and all the Pantheon people in the background on the chessboard. And I'm assuming this is opening moves?
This is the annual 2021.
Oh, this is annual 2021. Okay, yeah. Wow, annual 2021 has... Wow, okay. So this is where we really kind of get going with the setup. I love this page here where he's kind of recapping. And this is the cool thing about the annuals, folks. If you haven't kept up with some of the stuff, the annuals are a good way to get a refresher course. But you still should read this series from issue 1 to issue 150.
Yeah, the annuals and the free comic book days are great places to jump on and start reading if you don't feel like going back in time and reading everything. Good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have this big giant recap page of all of the siblings for the Pantheon and where everyone's been. And this is where he starts going to all of his siblings in the various ways and things. And this is my favorite page of this entire trade right here. This is so friggin' cool. This That's is almost awesome. Worth
making a poster out of that.
Uh-huh. They should make a poster. I don't know why they didn't make a poster out of this. This is so cool. So this page here, folks, so the previous page to this is... As I said, it's Rat King says, my sister Kitsune particularly has been a rather aggressive run-up until recently. He talks about the dragon. He talks about all this and everything else. And then this giant poster, at the top of it, it says, do I really have to spell it out for you? Oh, because at the bottom of the previous page here, he says... you see, the source of my sister's failure, nay, the source of all of my siblings' recent failures, as well as many of your own, is annoying as an assembly of antagonists shared by us all. And then that's where he says, do I really have to spell it out for you? So in this annual, he is actually talking to an audience that we can't see. So he is sitting somewhere talking to somebody somewhere that we don't know who he's talking to. And we get this poster. So starting at the top left there, you get Casey's dad, Alopex, Casey himself, Angel as nobody. You get Splinter, Shredder, April, Kitsune Karai, Jenica, all the turtles, what's
Mondo Gecko.
Mondo Gecko. Can't believe I forgot Mondo. All the humans. Who the hell are these guys?
Woody.
Okay, that's Woody. Yeah, that's Woody. Who's this?
I don't recognize who those two are.
Yeah, and that's
April's parents. Harold.
Those are April's parents. Okay. And then there's Pete. Good old Pete. Herman. And there's Fugitoid and Hob and Man Ray. And there's Harold. There's Libby. There's Mr. Alien Dude, whatever his name is. Miniature Man. There's Donnie and Leo. Bebop and Rocksteady. Wait, there's Rocksteady. Slash Dude. Raph and Pepperoni and Koya and, yeah, all.
I saw my first Pepperoni toy today.
Well, and you didn't buy it?
Well, it's not. It's a pre-order, but the McFarlane Raphael, I think, comes with Pepperoni.
Oh, nice. That's so cool. Yeah, so that's a nice little big old splash page poster-like thing. So, yeah. So he's going to Splinter. He's going to Shredder and Kitsune. He's going to everybody he can think of to go to. And then he starts going to his siblings. And this is where I do and I don't feel bad for him.
Huh?
All of his siblings tell him no.
Yeah, I don't have time for your games.
I don't have time for this anymore. Like, I'm doing my own thing. Like the whole cat lady thing here. I'm like, yeah, okay, you got your own war. And then we get to this. Oh my god, not this page. We get to this, and I was like, oh, what the? Oh, right, it's gonna be kickball. Because I knew as soon as he held the head in his hand, I'm like, you know, I always preferred a good. I knew he was going to say kick. And then I knew it was going to be like an Alice in Wonderland like thing. And then I'm like, oh, right, the Toad Baron. Because the Toad Baron kind of reminds me of the Queen of Hearts.
Like some Miyazaki fever dream.
Yeah, a little bit. Time out. And I do love how fun this is. Like, if I wanted any of the Pantheon characters like to be not super regular, but a more regular thing, the Toad Baron place would probably be the funnest place to be. I mean, it's still creepy as all hell, but it's probably the most fun. Players to the pitch and all that. And yeah, they basically tell him, no, we don't want to do it either. And then we get to the mammoth and the mammoth. Okay, maybe you can explain this to me. Like, I know they're just kind of like sparring each other, but like his moves here, like how, huh? He didn't really move. Like, they are going at each other. But like there's like again, they're not
killed one of them here.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The knife's hit the sword's in him. But
yeah, I think he's killing the wolves for furs and food.
Yeah, but
that, that kind of thing. Maybe. He's not so much of a protector as much as he's a survivor.
Okay. Maybe I read it wrong. I guess I did. I don't know. But basically everybody's telling him no. No, they don't want to go back to the game. And this is like the easiest one of all. Like, he just goes there. There's nobody else around this sibling. The Pacific Northwest. No.
I don't remember who that is. Oh, it's just the black inky thing.
Yeah, that's
tentacle squid.
Jaguar to Toad Baron to Mammoth. It was all beginning to come together for me in a most unexpected fashion. I was ready to return home with my newfound knowledge and one determined, but I first had one last step in order. I don't remember the character. I thought they said it already. I thought they were going to say it. And so there you have it. Oh, Gothano. That's, yeah. Soon I failed, the dragon is dead. And Gothano is like, no. Oh, honestly, no surprises there. So that was a quick, easy exchange. And then this is where we get the nice little 9-panel thing of him explaining everything. And we get the reveal of who he's talking to.
Well, yeah. Everybody that we've met so far.
Yep.
Pretty much. Laying out his pitch. This is his elevator pitch to Leather Krang,
Baxter, and
Madame Null.
And Null. Yep. This was crazy.
And it's the first time that we hear the Armageddon game.
The Armageddon game. And yep.
I have to go back and look at what year. So this is 2021. Holy cow! Yep. 5 years that's been sitting around. Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yeah, that was opening moves 1 and 2. Wow. Yeah. That's, yep. Crazy. So opening moves, what'd you think overall?
It's a long draw. I don't know what you call it. It's taking a long time to wrap to get to where it wants to go. Which, again, I feel like I've read Armageddon Game 3 times now, but I don't know that I ever got anywhere in any of these. Like, I know I've read all the annuals, but I don't remember this stuff coming up. And so I'm very excited that this will finally get me over the Armageddon Game speed bump. And then, you know, by March, I'll caught up with the new series.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there you go, folks. Armageddon Game opening moves. 0 to 5 with half points. What would you give this overall story?
3 out of 5, only because it is set up. It's not a complete story yet.
For the setup, I absolutely love it, but I do agree with you. It is basically 3 out of 5. There are a couple of good, really good moments, and those and those character moments for me are the Turtles, Splinter, Kitsune, and Shredder. The whole Kitsune and Shredder thing, where they're basically, you know, Ghost of Christmas gone by, past, future, present, whatever. When they're doing that stuff, oh man, I love that. And when the Turtles show back up to the thing, oh, that was so cool with the kids and everything. That was awesome. Like I said, because all of his siblings did say no to him, I kind of felt a little bit bad for the Rat King. Still doesn't mean I still don't dislike the character overall. But I'm interested to see where the Armageddon Game goes with this new quote-unquote family that he has now with Leather Krang and Stockman and Null.
Yeah, so I don't have any idea where this goes. I know...
I don't either. I've never read it until now, so...
I know from the covers of some of the books closer to 150 what shows up and how it related to some of the Archie books and things that sound like the word Armageddon. Yeah. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm excited to get there.
Yeah, look, man, the only thing I know about Armageddon is that it's a Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck joint from 1998. Directed by Michael Bay with Aerosmith.
Oh my gosh, I remember that song. Liv Tyler.
I want to miss a thing. That's right. Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of The Pullbag. We are back in the swing of things, and we are going to get things going. And, coming up, we've got the Armageddon Game Part 2, Let the Game Play Out. That's just my own little subtitle for the episode number, but that's episode 580. After that, we will finish with the Alliance, which is the or the Armageddon Game Alliance, which is the finale for that. Only because this was recorded months and months and months and years and years and years ago, my buddy Beachhead Mike is going to join me, and we're going to do G.I. Joe Silent Missions from Skybound Entertainment in the episode after Armageddon Game. But then after that, Joe and I are going to do Damage Done Volume 8 from Reborn, and then First, Last, Always, which is the final trade paperback for the original IDW Publishing TMNT run. We will be doing that in February of 2026, and then we will start the new Jason Aaron run, which his run only lasted 12 issues, which, you know, it's a good run. 12 issues, not bad.
I think there might be some behind-the-scenes drama going on with that.
I don't want to get into any of that. I'm just saying he had a 12-issue run.
Yep.
He kicked off the new run. Yeah, I've heard it's very good, too. So, yep. And it's IDW. It's still Turtles. We're still going to cover it because we still love it. So, you know, we're still here for it. So that's what's coming up here inside the Pullbag. Thank you for joining us here at the show. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can also visit shop.geekcastradio.com to buy our merchandise today. Yes, you can too, can buy yourself a t-shirt up to 4XL with the Pull Bags logo on it or any other logo that Steve Megaton has available on the website there. That's shop.geekcastradio.com. Buy our merch today. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can find us on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. We are on Discord. You can go to the website post on geekcastradio.com. You can find the GCR in Discord there. Join us next time. As I mentioned, Armageddon Game will begin. So Joe and I will be back for that. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Joe Reed, currently at the shop.geekcastradio.com store looking for this shirt because I think I need to wear that sucker.
I think they're there. I think there's pull bag shirts. I'm not sure. I haven't looked. Okay. Good. You're good. As always, make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag.
Oh, man. I could really go for a little deep dish action right about now.
I had some pizza down here the other day. There might be some left over.
Well, question.
Yeah?
Do you like penicillin on your pizza?
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.